Hear that? That's the sound of my just got a payment worth 3 months of payroll face, also known as my pay face. It happens when I can accept credit and debit cards, bank transfer, and mobile pay with Intuit QuickBooks. That's payments made easy. Wait, I thought this ad was over. Oh no, here comes my holding it a squeal in front of a customer face. And my, whoa, getting paid twice as fast face. Thanks for that, QuickBooks.
QuickBooks payments account subject to eligibility. Twice as fast based on customer use comparison from August 2019 to July 2020.
Beware. The monster you're running from might be yourself. Introducing Mordeo, a new fiction thriller podcast from the creative minds of Blumhouse and Crypt TV. 1 month after two brothers disappear in the Shenandoah Forest, the lone survivor of the pair emerges, starving, disoriented, and traumatized.
This is what I am. This is what I've become.
Listen to Mordeo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Great to see you. I'm with Jingle Jared, of course, the creator and one of the stars and musical directors of the incredibly successful first ever musical podcast to launch an album, Bear and a Banjo. Congratulations on all the success, my man.
Thank you very much. Well, you're part of it too, so this is very meta.
I am a little part of it. I'm Zach Selwyn, your host for this.
It's very like you're in
special.
The movie, but you're also doing the press junket.
It's, yeah, it's like that Nicolas Cage thing that's coming out. Nicolas Cage is playing Nicolas Cage in a movie about Nicolas Cage.
Oh, it's really?
So, yeah, something like that.
I like that. Wait, are you sure you're not thinking of Shia LaBeouf?
It might be LaBeouf.
I get them mixed up too. They're equally
too.
Crazy.
They do. I need a drink here. That's my Nicolas Cage impersonation.
I like it.
I'm Zach Selwyn. I was lucky enough to play a few roles in this podcast, and I'm very honored to be here today hosting a very special behind-the-scenes episode to set up next week's incredibly anticipated episode, which features a new song with lyrics by Mr. Bob Dylan himself.
Yeah, that freaks me out every single time I think about the fact that we got to write a song with Bob Dylan, and I don't even think Pooh Bear still believes it, but it's been a long time coming to get that song made and actually recorded and now put out in this unique way. So I have to say the whole season could not have gone any better, in my opinion, and this is going to be the icing on the cake, so I'm psyched.
You guys have told the story about how you came into contact with Dylan's people and how the song came about. Do you want to go over that again, or is that something that we should just sort of direct our listeners to?
Well, yeah, I feel like it's weird. There's no direct path on this project, but the long story short that I told in the last Behind the Scenes podcast was essentially just going out and meeting people and sometimes being slightly inebriated has been the secret of this project.
How'd you guys first meet, you and Jared?
Oh, man, I met Jared at a bar, Mr. Nice Guy, and strange enough, there were it was alcohol involved, and
sure.
Actually, it seemed that still Justin Bieber kind of introduced us, and it was crazy because I really wanted to write jingles for television, you know. So we exchanged numbers, and unlike music industry people, we actually reached out to each other the next day. And I think we
we got together.
We got together.
There was a project.
Yeah, it was a project. That's what really started it.
By meeting Justin Bieber and thinking I was talking to somebody else. And then him introducing me to Pooh Bear set off a series of events where I later met T-Bone in the exact same circumstance. And then I have Pooh Bear and T-Bone. And then we work on this project. And I'm fast-forwarding a lot. But we work on this project for essentially 2.5 years. And eventually T-Bone goes, hey, what's it going to take to wrap this project up? And I said, I really feel like this is a special set of material. It's really speaking to the styles of music that represent a lot of various cultures in the 20th century, the early part of the 20th century, the big bang of recorded music. And the one person who, in my mind, always tied together all of these different things was Bob Dylan. And I really look at him as this Talmudic, encyclopedic resource that could take all of these disparate ideas, jazz, blues, soul music, folk music, and tied it together into something that's uniquely Dylan. So when T-Bone said that he didn't think it would be a problem, we basically held on to that hope for a while. And eventually, voila. The interesting thing is, even having the song itself wasn't enough, because we had to frame it and present it in an interesting way. And that's really where all these great actors come in, like Rosanna and Dennis and the writer of the episode, Tom Piazza, who's a total legend.
We are going to speak to Rosanna Arquette. What's the name of this episode that's coming out, by the way?
It's based on the song Gone But Not Forgotten. Song title essentially inspires this amazing short story that Tom Piazza wrote.
Gone, but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning. Just got up.
If any of you don't know who Tom Piazza is, I'll give him a shout out here. He has been one of the experts on New Orleans, and he writes from this perspective of life in New Orleans pre, during, and post Katrina, and frames a lot of his writing that way. And he's actually worked with David Simon, another legend in the TV space, creating episodes of Tremé. If you haven't seen that show, it's a slow burn, but it's just another one of these amazing, rich musical stories that weaves music into every single episode. Like sometimes Elvis Costello will just play himself amongst all these other fictional characters, and it treats geography as a character. So there's all the characters in the show, but New Orleans and the parts of New Orleans and the neighborhoods are also the character, much like in this thing, the story. And the song in the story is really a character in this episode of Gone But Not Forgotten. And we're like, how do we take this like precious, awesome set of lyrics and not do this like corny thing where it's like, hey, follow the bouncing ball of the lyrics. And, you know, I wanted to find the best possible writer who has a history of writing in and around Dylan and not give him any real instruction except for go nuts, which, you know, is whenever people... I'm collaborating on music with people and they always ask me, hey, what notes, you know, do you got for this thing? I'll say, make it hot. Cause I think when you tell people too much and instruct too much, you lose that spark of why you hired them in the first place.
A lot of previous collaborations with Dylan lyrics and newer artists performing them, obviously Billy Bragg and Wilco. No, that's wrong. Wait, sorry.
No, that was Woody.
That was Guthrie.
was a good one, though.
That's an incredible project.
And that actually very much was in the back of my mind when
right.
I was creating this thing. Because it's like, how do you collaborate with someone, a body that's not in the room? And by the way,
right.
Dylan is like everywhere and nowhere. So it's like almost like we were collaborating with a ghost.
I meant to say Old Crow Medicine Show,
that,
of course.
That's another example.
Right. Their song
Wagon Wheel.
Wagon Wheel, which has been covered a few times.
I think he got a number one out of that one.
I'm sure he did.
And I think Hootie did it too.
It's a huge record. But a lot of people have covered Dylan, some to incredible success, you know, the Birds and beyond, and some have done stuff that never really worked out. Mm-hmm. It's got to be an honor. I mean, this seemed to me like the ultimate songwriter's dream.
Yeah, I do feel, like I said, really, really lucky. And you know, the first part of it all was getting the song, but talking with Rosanna about when we did press day about her whole process was really awesome. So I think let's try and get her on the line here. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right. We are speaking with Rosanna Arquette, and she is going to be acting in the final episode of Gone But Not Forgotten. That's the name of the episode, final episode of Bear and Banjo this season. And I think I met you through your brother, who's an amazing person. But we met through, you know, him and I were talking about a different podcast project. But it seems like everyone in L.A. and, you know, the actor community right now is talking about podcasts. Do you have friends that that you've worked with before that are respected actors that have done podcasts before?
Well, my really good friend, Catherine Keener, has done one, and she really loves podcasts, so she's a big fan of that world. And I've always, you know, I love the spoken word. I love hearing the voice, remember in the days, you know, the old days that we didn't have TV. I mean, we did, but they didn't, and they would sit around their radios and listen to, you know, the Orson Welles Theater Group and many people tell their stories and comedy, and I love that, and I think it's really great that you're bringing that back.
But you guys are from like a radio family too. Like your grandfather, when David was telling me that he had done radio plays and comedy and vod, like stuff on radio next to Bob Hope. What did you know about all that stuff growing up?
We did. I mean, we absolutely did know all that. And you know, then, but of course, you know, I was busy being a hippie kid, so I wasn't focusing on that. But you know. Got into acting, and I love it, and I had such a wonderful time doing, you know, your show, Baron Banjo, with Dennis Quaid, and it was so great to just go in there, and you know, you don't have to worry about hair and makeup. You can come in your, you know, jammies if you want, just be cozy and get into it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, when people are like, wow, how did you get, you know, big actors like Dennis and Rosanna to be part of this thing? You know, I think that what you just said rings true, is that there's not a whole, you know, makeup and hair and prep thing. It's really just going off the words on the page and then hitting play. And, you know, when you and Dennis recorded your lines, like, I think that, you know, people who weren't there, explain just, you know, what happened in the 1-2 hours that we asked you of your time. Like, how did you prep
for
that?
We jumped in.
Yeah.
There was no rehearsal whatsoever. I just, like, you know, in fact, I think you sent me the words and I looked it through, but then it really is. It's like when you're working, even though you can memorize your lines, I mean, and you don't have to memorize here, which is fantastic, but it all is happening when the camera is running and when the tape is running here. And Dennis is also, you know, a good director all in the booth. You know, he would say, hey, let's do this again this way, you know, or something. And, mm-hmm. and that was awesome.
Yeah. And the reason why, you know, I think we called you also in the first place is because this is a whole project about storytelling through music. And you have this huge lifelong connection to music. Did you love music growing up? How did this whole world start following you around, or was it vice versa?
I grew up around it because there were so many musicians that I grew up around. So Gibson and Camp, Hamilton Camp was my godfather. So they were a great, in fact, I would play them, you know, if we ever do our thing, which we're talking about. I love interviewing musicians. Anyway, growing up, I was in clubs. I was actually there at Newport when Dylan went electric, apparently, which I wish I could remember, but I don't.
That's real history.
My parents were there, and I was there. So as you could get really young. Just Woodstock, I went. I was around a lot of musicians all my life growing up, and then just love it. Music I use for work, you know, to get some kind of emotion up. I'll use certain, you know, songs for certain things that, and it can just be chords. Like the beginning of the song is over, the mm-hmm. piano, you know, always just gets me this, just, I don't know, it puts me in this place that I need to be sometimes, you know, and that's like an old rock song, but I listen to all kinds of genre of music and appreciate it all. And, I had relationships with musicians in my life. I love being around the process of great friends. You know, T-Bone is involved with this. We're friends. We know each other. His partner, Callie, is a great friend of mine. So, yeah,
I was just with them in Nashville. Their place is beautiful. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so cool. Great. They have the best art. They have the cool. It's. I feel like T-Bone. If I hadn't met him and Pooh Bear, none of this would have happened. Everyone's been asking me about this project. Like, how did you meet all these random people? And I just say, like, I just literally just bump into geniuses and say hello. And next thing you know, you have all these genius friends, and you included, because, you know, it's funny. I met your brother first, but I feel like
who's my real genius. He's just one of my heroes. I just love him. He's got the most beautiful heart of anybody I know, and I'm so, so blessed to have him as my brother.
And he is like this true jack of all trades, but that's for another day. But look, with all the podcasting stuff that you were hinting about, like I feel you would make an amazing podcast host. You've done all this directing and been to all these festivals and get access. Tell me, you know, just about some of the ambition there, because I feel like that's a no-brainer.
Well, I directed two documentaries that I interview people, and mm-hmm. I really love doing that. So I have Searching for Deborah Winger and also a movie called All We Are Saying. They were both on Showtime for interviewing musicians. And I have everybody from Patti Smith, Thom Yorke, to Mary J. Blige. I mean, I have so many interesting ones. Tom Petty, Peter Gabriel, many, many people in this documentary where I talk about the balance of their life and art and being an artist and being on the road and the changes of what was happening in the music industry. So I'm always interested in talking to people, know a lot of musicians, and would love, you know, this has always been a dream of mine to have a podcast, because I love doing that. And I do know that I used to shoot the backstage interviews for Coachella. I did that for 6 years for them. And then we got everybody, you know, I got everybody from Amy Winehouse to, you know, Roger Waters to McCartney. And so great, great interviews. And I love doing that. And yeah, I would love to continue this, but it doesn't have to just be musicians, but, you know, focus mostly on musicians. I'm figuring what I would love to do is speak to everybody, but it would be music oriented. Like, what's your favorite music and what inspired you? And it could be, you know, it could be talking to, you know, everybody from Kamala Harris to, you know, Thom Yorke.
Oh my, and Paul McCartney, who my daughter's named after. Music, I think, is one of those things.
McCartney is her name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Believe it or not, all my kids have their middle names after the Traveling Wilburys. I think I might have, that's my secret naming mechanism.
We get Danny Harrison on for sure, because he's great for
them. Legendary. And, you know, this really is the new way that, you know, everything that's old is new again. You said, you know, theater of the mind, Orson Welles, and radio, like, right now, every single, you know, radio station, every single streaming service, they're all investing heavily in podcasts. So I have a prediction for 2020. I think you and I for sure are going to build a podcast for you, around you, just because everybody loves music, but nobody, it's become one of the most diminished and hard to break through mediums now. And I think that the spoken word and this world of audio we live in, and even what we did with Baron Banjo, I think is just an interesting way of telling musical stories, utilizing, you know, this podcast medium, which is essentially radio on the internet. But yeah, I would love to do that with you.
You know, I just realized also, like, you know, I will also focus on the incredible female artists that we have that I know, and, like, you know, Joni Mitchell would be a great one to talk to. And God, I love Patti Smith. And but there's so many. Chrissy Hynde, like, you know, one of my best friends. So we'll just definitely have Chrissy on there, and we've gone on together on Steve Jones, because I hosted for Steve. You know, sometimes when he would go out of town, I'd do Jonesy's Jukebox for him. Yeah, so I love it. It makes me very happy.
That's awesome. We got only a few more questions here for you, but I guess the Bob Dylan of it all, like, we're, you know, he's a person who uses, you know, what I like to call, you know, so much obfuscation and masking as to who he truly is. And because he got involved in this project, you know, by contributing music to this, you know, what's your experience of Dylan? Were you growing up, were you, you know, you said you were at Newport, but you were very young, but were you a huge fan? And, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he was like the poet of our childhood. It's the sound of our childhood was, you know, would be him, Lornero, and all that growing up. But I also am friends with his kids. You know, I really, you know, I know Jacob and Jesse very well. And you know, I've known him through the years. But it's really his kids that I've become friends with and know for years. Love them. And, you know, he's still on the road. He lives on the road. It's like Willie, you know, they live on the road. I'd love to. Willie's in my documentary, too. He'd be fun to bring on. And I am friends with a lot of the kids of these great artists, you know, like, you know, his son Lucas, who's fantastic and has his own band and amazing always. And
That's the whole thing with Dylan. I feel like we're so lucky that he decided to, you know, come on board for this thing. And your whole episode is about the unveiling of his song lyrics through a long form narrative. And I know that, you know, just dealing with the whole, you know, process of even getting him involved in this project, we tried to really do it in a way where we tell a story, but also not give too much away. And I really think through, you know, this, the, it feels like a one act play with you and Dennis, like the way that you, the story just unveils as like a musical ghost story that really, you know, brings the song to life. And I feel like, you know, there could be more and more instances where we get great actors together and unveil music through that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's definitely, we can certainly do that. There's many, many people I know, you know, we can bring them all together and continue this with other stories, because there's always, there's many stories to tell.
Well, you are great. I know that you got a crazy schedule today. Thank you really so much for being involved in this project, Baron Abanjo, and thank you for you know, the amazing acting in the episode, which is going to debut next week. And this is basically our conversation about the podcast before the podcast. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jared. And I look forward to doing more with you.
You got it. We're 2020. We're going to make your podcast.
All right, honey. Lots of love.
All right, bye.
Bye.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare. And even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
I'm Malcolm Gladwell, and I've got to warn you. The new season of my podcast, Revisionist History, is completely unbound. We're finally out of the house. And now that we've got the chance, we're going into the streets and even under the sea. All in the name of continuing this journey through the overlooked and misunderstood. Our episodes take on autonomous cars, dirty laundry, college rankings, and fairy tales. In quarantine, I finally watched The Little Mermaid, and I was shocked. It's rife with moral conundrums. Can it be saved? With the help of Jodie Foster, Britt Marling, and Dax Shepard, we attempt an epic de-Disneyfying of a Disney classic. I haven't decided who we rile up most, college presidents or Disney executives. You'll have to hear for yourself. Listen to Revisionist History on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, that was cool.
That was cool. That was Rosanna Arquette live in the Jingle Studio here.
The Rosanna Arquette.
The Rosanna Arquette, of course, has a couple big songs written about her in the pantheon of rock and roll, I believe.
I know a few.
I know the Toto song, Rosanna.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Also, In though. Your Eyes.
That's about her, Peter Gabriel?
Allegedly. I don't know if I'm saying something I'm not
John
supposed
Cusack
to.
John Cusack holding up the boombox and say
she's
anything?
She's inspired a lot of cool music, and I think even more beyond that, but I think sure. That would be more of her to tell it, but right. it's amazing because the people that she's saying that she's friends with, from Chrissy Hynde to, in the past, Tom Petty, who passed away, but, you know, Donnie Harrison, Paul McCartney, I just feel like she has the magic touch.
Yeah.
Maybe her involvement in this project will be a good luck omen for our soundtrack.
I think it probably will. Has anyone ever written a song about you, Jared?
I think there's a self-flushing toilet song.
And let's play that right now.
I don't think so. Not a nice one, at least.
Right.
her and her whole family, to me, represent the part of the entertainment business that I wanted to get into. Like, look, people can have their Rock and their Mark Wahlbergs, all great people, you know, they're their A-list blockbuster people, but and she is that, but she represents to me the same thing that I love about authenticity in music, that old weird America, someone who can do radio plays, shows up and just does the thing, someone whose family has a history of vaudeville. Her brother David is, like she said, he's a magical human being, probably one of the most special people I've ever met. And I think most people know him from the Scream franchise, but he's also now embarked on a career as a professional wrestler. He's a puppeteer. He's a painter. And he's a guy that anytime you ask him to do something, no matter how stupid or silly it is, he'll do it. And if I can find the audio, we'll do the audio up for when we went on the Gong Show a few years ago. He just was like, "Hey, Jared, the Gong Show's coming back. Do you want to be my backing band? We're going to do a puppet doing a dance to the Barnyard Dance song." And well, Dave, let's our engineer that. Will insert the audio here. Let's see if we can find it on the internet.
Late last night in the pale moonlight, all the rituals gave a scream. They put out a sign singing dance tonight, and all the images.
Well, to me, that's the fun part about show business. This Hollywood is really an extension of the Catskills. These people move out here and they're like, "Let's make stuff.
Let's be creative." People.
That's you in the
that's
last
why
episode.
I'm here. That's
no,
we're
that's
all here.
You as Hesh in the last episode.
Hesh, yeah, Hesh Kramer.
Give me a bit of the Hesh voice.
I've been waiting to tell this story for 92 years.
And that's why I think all the people that are in the episode, the through line here is they represent different parts of what I love about the stories that I heard about the music business, Hollywood, and tying it all together to do something slightly esoteric, but also I call it romantic. Some people would call it esoteric. I call it romantic.
There's a lot of people who have tried to capitalize off of the world of music. I'm thinking more recently about plays like Rock of Ages and these jukebox musicals that are everywhere. The Donna Summer musical that just came out, the Carole King one. There's a Simon and Garfunkel musical.
Moving out.
Like,
hey, moving out.
The difference is this is original music. Baron
yes.
Banjo. This is not, hey, let's take a greatest hits record and put some dialogue around it.
The whole reason that we did this project for as a first is because when I asked our executives at iHeart why aren't people doing musicals, they said because of the rights issues and how expensive it is for this new medium. And I think we broke through a few different walls here. One, solving the problem of, hey, music's expensive, let's write our own. And everyone's like, working with actors, good actors in fiction is expensive. Well, let's figure out a creative way to get them into this by having a cool story that they can get behind. And the amount of promo that Rosanna and Dennis and T-Bone and Pooh have all done contributing to making people aware of this is just unbelievable. Dennis, when he goes and promotes a movie like Midway or The Intruder or any of his other films, is, you know, it's one and done. You do the press junkets, but he's woken up, he's done radio with me, he's done Adam Carolla with me, he's gone on Mario Lopez, and we have a whole bunch of radio next week where he's waking up at 6 a.m. with me, and we just get on the phone and call into radio stations and working it like we're a bunch of vaudeville performers trying to make a buck.
Yeah, it's like being in a band when you had to show up at the radio station at 5:30 a.m. for your morning interview.
And that stuff
nothing
works.
More fun than that.
That stuff works. The power of radio is still very real.
It's
even though
still
we're this is a very meta conversation because we're talking about radio in a podcast about radio backed by a radio.
And Nicolas Cage is hosting.
Give me some more, Nick.
I don't want to say you look great and you smell great and your hair's great and I really wish you'd come home with me.
Sorry, I'm like hacking.
That's pretty good,
here.
Huh?
Yeah. That's...
And then the girl goes,
"Maybe you shouldn't drink so much.
Maybe I shouldn't breathe so much, Terry."
You know what I want to do?
Thank you very much.
I want to. I want you to recreate the whole Nick Cage freaking out clip one time. Have
I
you
will.
Ever seen that one?
Yeah, when he's like getting married.
No, like I love all the different clips.
We'll get all that together. If I can just rewatch it a couple times, I'll nail it. We'll get Nick Cage on season 2 of Bear and a Banjo.
And he can't find the files. He's like, A, B, C.
I'm the Kling Clang King of the Rim Ram Room.
That's my favorite quote of his.
I'm the Kling Clang King of the Rim Ram Room. Let's roll.
Anyway, like, I feel like we got off topic there.
We did.
Oh, T-Bone.
T-Bone Burnett.
T-Bone Burnett. That's
now,
what we're
let me just
about.
Tell anyone here, if you're not familiar with T-Bone Burnett, you are familiar with him. You just may not know it. Do a deep Google search. See what kind of records this guy has produced, played on, performed on.
Let's just riff on some of these. Yeah. So August and Everything After.
Counting Crows. Okay.
First Wallflowers album.
Heard of it.
He had his own band, the Beta Band, which is extremely influential.
Yep.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
He played in the Rolling Thunder Review.
With Bob Dylan.
Mr. Bob Dylan.
He also did Crazy Heart, which is essentially, great. if you ever want the Jingle Punk story, just watch that movie. That's me barfing in trash bins all across America.
Read the book if you want the real ending to that movie.
Really?
It's a dark ending.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know it?
Well, I don't want to do spoilers.
All right, no spoilers.
Read the book. what else has he done? He's done, Raising Sand, Alison Krauss, and Robert Plant. And by the way, the same band that plays on all of the Baron Banjo record with Pooh and myself is the Raising Sand band. Top to bottom. Plus, we had the Punch Brothers. It's like
it's an incredible
a wish
lineup.
List of awesome people you would want to work with. And he's just like, would be sitting there. And here's two examples of how awesome he is. I meet him and, he just says, oh yeah, nice to meet you, guy with the hat, Jingle Jared. He's so soft-spoken. He says the most brilliant things, and I'll get into that in my conversation with him. But two things were amazing. One is the way that I got really into T-Bone's world was Pooh Bear and I were working on a song for Pro Bull Riding, the PBR league, and we had the song called Hold On, Let Go, and I was trying to figure out how I could get to Steven Tyler, and I just randomly went on Steven Tyler's Instagram and saw that T-Bone was with him. I'd met T-Bone a few weeks earlier and texted T-Bone, hey, I see you're working with Steven Tyler. Is it cool if I pitch you guys something? And without even hesitation, he goes, yeah, come on by the studio. Like, think about that in Hollywood.
Jared is a masterclass in how to get stuff done.
But the best part was I've actually become less Hollywood since I've known all these people because I see how cool they are about everything. But I show up to the studio and I'm like, oh my God, that's Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Just walking
and
around.
Pooh Bear like rolls and he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I know Aerosmith. He's like, start me up. I was like, nope, that's the Rolling Stones. But he's so zen. He doesn't, it's either like he's pretending or he just doesn't, he sits sort of above it all. But then when Steven Tyler met Pooh Bear, we're sitting there and he's like, wow, Pooh Bear. He's like, I want to get some of those Bieber hits on these records. So we're like, oh, I have a song. And I'm like, it's a multi-prong integration into a media and it'll be airtime on CBS. We're going to trade out media time for dollars. And then T-Bone goes, could you just play him the goddamn song? So we play the demo. Halfway through it, he goes, who played guitar on this? I'm like, I did. He just throws me like a 4-string instrument. He's like, show me some. Because I'm like, I don't look like someone. I guess I come in like even though I wear a cowboy hat and all this stuff, I might seem like the deal guy. And he's like, throws me the instrument and he goes, play this. And it's like in a weird tuning. I start like playing. Oh, yeah, cool. He's like, okay, I'm going in the booth right now. I'm going to track it. So we literally go from, hey, a text message earlier in the day, I want to meet Steven Tyler, to him going in the booth right there. But that's
track in the song, which became the Professional Bull Riders writing.
Cut to half a year later, yeah. Pooh Bear and I are at Pro Bull Riding events where him and I are the only African-American and Jewish person in the entire stadium. And Steven's like, what a trip this is. And I just love the fact that to me also, you got to look at your own life for the stories. So they say, write what you know. Like, that is Baron of Banjo. Like in this last episode with Dylan, like we write a song for a baseball team in Minnesota, but Pooh Bear and I have written a song for the Marlins with DJ Khaled. And we've gotten into so many of these cockamamie schemes. And in life, you set out to do these creative endeavors and everyone's like, what's the straight path to success? There literally is none. I just did this thing at NYU talking about black swans. All you have to do to be successful is make stuff, go everywhere all the time, say yes to opportunity, and just be scrappy and know that your geography is destiny. Sure, you could live in a, you know, cornfield in the middle of Iowa and be the best artist in the world and possibly even get discovered because of that, because of the internet. But your chances greatly increase if you're just in it. And I feel like LA and New York have provided me and Nashville with so much opportunity to just be face to face with artists and just do my weird Jingle Jared thing.
Okay, parachute's ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 0.99% APR for 60 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Jamie Lee Curtis. I am host of the new podcast, Good Friend, on iHeartRadio. On Good Friend, I am talking about friendship, sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to talk about conflict resolution, about making new friends, about keeping friendships alive through very difficult times. Listen and subscribe to Good Friend on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Pretty awesome. And, you know, this is all to set up the next episode, which is also the final episode. We've mentioned this a few times. It's the one centered around the Bob Dylan song. None of this would have happened if it wasn't for the T-bone of it all. And, you know, Rosanna and Dennis's amazing acting in this episode is something that I think people will dig. And that's what we got next week. Season one. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Final episode. The icing on the cake, as you said. New song featuring lyrics by Mr. Bob Dylan. I guess you,
you think he'll put it on his TikTok page?
He might drop it on there. That's where music, that's where it's coming out. Yeah. I'm sure that the Bob Dylan files out there, the super Dylan fans, you know, that go beyond like you and me being huge fans, but the guys who are out there collecting, you know, every hiccup he ever had on the microphone are going to be seeking this out.
I hope so. I mean, I consider myself a super fan. When I saw him live in Santa Barbara a few weeks ago, I went with Dennis to the show. He didn't play, you know, the songs that I think the audience expected, but I'm a huge fan of late era Dylan, and I'm a huge fan of deep, deep catalog. It doesn't matter to me if I'm hearing recognizable melodies or even versions of the song that I'm used to hearing. I just love it all, and I love that he's a person who's immersed his entire life into his art, and his whole life is this high-level immersion and masking, and the shtick, whatever it is for the benefit of the universe. It may not be enjoyable to him to do hundreds of dates every year and be away from family. I know so little about the inner workings of the Dylan mind. I don't need to know it. I don't want to know it. This is exactly how I want my Dylan.
Yeah, he's got to remain that mysterious character. I mean, that's his whole thing. I think whenever he got exposed, his life went off the rails, and he decided a long time ago, I'm gonna put a little distance between me and the, you know, what everyone expects from me. And every time I've seen Dylan live, you always start off going, oh, wow, it's not 1974 anymore. But then you'll just accept it and you love it. And yeah, he's turned
the funny thing is, we always joked when we were working on this record as the election was happening, not to get political here, and I'm not, but we always talked that we were living in the post-truth era. We have a, you know, song on the album called Lying's the New Truth. We have a song called That's Not America. But the difference is that America is an amazing place because it is filled with scoundrels, crooks, liars, con men. That's the old weird America that Grail Marcus writes about. But it's your right to come here, whether you're some con man politician or an artist who wants to completely reinvent themselves for to be consumed as something that you weren't born as. And I always liked everything that Dylan always said about sometimes you were, you know, born to the wrong parents in the wrong city at the wrong time. And that's yours to fix and correct as you go. And there's a right way to obfuscate and mask, and there's a wrong way. But somewhere in all these like wacky stories that we told in season one, I feel that is the central idea of Bear and a Banjo. It's just about the truth. And, you know, Pooh and I, when we get together, the music process and watching him write music was very honest, that he wouldn't put on a character or say stuff that would be out of character for him. Everything from him is from the heart or not at all, and it happens very quickly. Same with T-Bone. I don't think that T-Bone has the ability to bullshit, and certainly whatever form of version of Dylan that we are connecting with and relating with through his lyrics is probably the most exciting element of it all. And I'll leave you with one last thing. If you have not heard his Nobel speech that he did on YouTube, Google it. It's amazing. He just talks about the path that his favorite literary works, took him on as a writer. And he ends with his discussion of Homer's The Odyssey, which to me is also an amazing parallel for the Baron Banjo story, because we went on our own little odyssey through the old weird America. And this is our behind the scenes look at the final episode of the season, Baron of Banjo.
Gone but not forgotten. And congratulations on an incredible first season. Hoping for more stories, more adventures with Baron of Banjo. And my name is Zach Selwyn. Jared Gutstadt, of course. We had Rosanna Arquette next week. New Bob Dylan collaboration.
New song on Thursday. New episode on Thursday. New song on Friday. I'm excited about everybody discovering the song that essentially I've been working on since 2016 to finally come out. Here is a sneak preview of our collaboration, Baron of Banjo's collaboration with none other than Bob Dylan. The song is Gone But Not Forgotten. Thank you for listening to our conversation with Zach Selwyn, Rosanna Arquette. And if you dig the show and you dig the music, please tell your friends. Word of mouth is how people discover these podcasts. And I take you out with Gone But Not Forgotten. Hope you dig.
Forgotten, crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning. Just got up and walked away. 19 bird dogs and one old measly hound. 20 of them to track my baby down. 2 trains running, neither of them going where I have to go. 1 going to Houston, 1 going to San Antonio. Yeah, she's gone, but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning. Just got up and walked away. Ain't no difference in any of the women I meet. Some live on the first floor, some live right above the street. Some walk in high heels, some others in their stocking feet. Looking out my window while it rained for 3 days straight. Sometimes I wonder how long my baby gonna make me wait. Yeah. Gone, but not forgotten. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning. My heart ever beat. Don't wanna talk to nobody, oh no. Ain't got no appetite to eat. She's gone, but not forgotten. Ooh, cry one night to stay. She left me
about Prince, Biggie, Mick Jagger, Miles Davis.
this isn't about them. This is about a girl. A podcast about women whose stories have been eclipsed by the legends of their famous partners. Maite Garcia, Marianne Faithfull, Norma Tanega, they are all coming at you in season two of About a Girl. Listen to About a Girl on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hola, I'm Wilmer Valderrama, and I am excited to share my new podcast with you. Each week on Essential Voices, I'll be in conversation with an essential worker. Truck drivers, teachers, mental health professionals, grocery store workers. The folks has kept society going during COVID and will keep it going long after. How can we continue supporting these folks and their society-sustaining professions as the nature of the pandemic continues shifting? Well, listen to Essential Voices with me, Wilmer Valderrama, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.